I got information that the complication was the fact that they had applied for two licenses in one application and not one license. But I still demanded to know how far the process was. And last week, Thursday, there was an indication that Infraco had been granted a license. But when I checked with Infraco, the court, the opposite was true. So I decided at that point that I'm not going to have any correspondence with anyone anymore. I should just bring everybody back to the meeting here. So that forgive me for putting this item on the agenda. But I must say that taking that decision could have helped a bit, because then on Friday, I was phoned by ICASA to say that they are issuing a license, and I said, but you've been saying this for some time now, but by yesterday morning, there was a sure indication Friday afternoon that the council had agreed, but the license would be issued Monday morning, which was yesterday. Coupled with the information written to me that the license was finally issued, which came yesterday, was an explanation from ICASA about why they are still considering the second license. So they granted them only the ECNS license, which I think is a good thing, because then Infraco can begin to do what they've been mandated to do. However, apparently there are legal problems around the second license. So I was just tired of hearing explanations telephonically, and I thought that the best thing to do in a meeting situation, in Parliament, we must hear what the problems are, because when maybe we are looking at the processes in a simplified way, there might be problems that we are not seeing, that ICASA is seeing. So to that effect, I invited the Department of Communication, because they have been involved by way of policy directives together with ICASA to give them a chance, a right of reply, to explain to us to what extent are they involved, if anything. Because in the last meeting we were told that the policy directive that a minister, the late Mayor Sol, late I.D. Kasamori had issued, had been withdrawn and replaced with another one, but it was something that I did not comprehend very well. To that extent, I invited all three stakeholders today. Firstly, I want to, on behalf of the committee, congratulate Infraco on receiving the license, and secondly, thank ICASA. They could have said no, because as a regulator, they have a right to say no. Thank them for having granted the license to Infraco. But that sometimes we speak about these things, if South Africans are looking on television or reading in the paper about the things that we are talking about here, a normal average South African does not know what IFRAHO means, stands for, what this license will mean for IFRAHO, and what the fact is all about. So I thought I should give, I will firstly let people, our visitors, introduce themselves. To save time, members, we will introduce ourselves when we speak, at the time when we take, we make questions or comments. I will ask the two parties that are here to introduce themselves. After that, I will ask IFRAHO briefly to assume that they are explaining to an average South African who they are and what the license they got now, which is the ECNS license, what their mandate is and what that license will enable them to do. And even go further and tell us, should they be granted the ECS license, what will that enable them to do? So that an ordinary South African should understand what all this process is all about. Is this okay with members, the approach? Okay, thanks. Can we have IFRAHO introduce themselves? Dinelle has asked to stay outside, so I said it's okay. I have even granted them the opportunity to enter, but they are saying they are still busy, they are okay. So they are not here yet. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chairperson. My name is Klaas Nkabane. I'm the legal counsel for Project IFRAHO.
Are you alone?
Yes, I'm alone. Good morning, Chairperson and honorable members. My name is Mulaji Banda from
Mexico. Good morning, honorable Chairperson. My name is Thabo Makgakge, Councillor at ICASA.
Good morning, honorable Chairperson. My name is Karabo Mutlana, CEO at ICASA.
Good morning, honorable members. I'm Stanley Mamarapane with ICASA's legal division.
Good morning, Chair and honorable members.
Morning, honorable chair. My name is Samuel from ICASA, protecting the corporate.
Morning, honorable chair. My name is Peter Curtis. I'm senior manager of market and competition analysis, ICASA.
Good morning, honorable members. My name is Norman Gideon, senior manager of licensing from ICASA.
Good morning, honorable chair and honorable members. My name is Noba Shabalala from ICASA.
Good morning, honorable members. My name is Onati Wangane from the Chairperson's Office, ICASA.
Thank you very much, and I thank ICASA for bringing such a huge delegation. Thanks very much. I am hard of hearing due to cell phone use on my left ear. So when you are sitting that far, I might struggle to hear you when you begin to discuss. May I please beg you to at least come a bit nearer. Everybody else has got a role in this. Please, thank you very much. May I officially submit that I had a preliminary meeting outside with the Department of Communication and I want this to be noted. The DDG was outside with somebody mandated by the DG before the other committee to inform me that a person will be here by 10 o'clock to take whatever questions or to make whatever clarifications we want them to make, particularly around the issue of the policy directive. Around the issue of licenses. I have accepted their apology. Gradually so, but it's okay. At least they are making an effort to come. Thanks. IFRAHO, please explain briefly what your company is, its mandate, what the granted license will enable it to do, you to do, and what will you do with the other license to be granted to you.
Thank you, Madam Chairperson, as well as the honorable members. I'll try my best to explain in simple terms what the request is, because I think you are all aware that we are dealing with a very technical area, which is, you know, a telephone sector. Recalling the cabinet decision back in August 2007 to approve the electronic communication bill aimed at facilitating the licensing of public entities in the ICT sector, and the subsequent act, which was the Electronic Communications Amendment Act, enabling the licensing of broadband in SACO. The aim of the process was to enable broadband in SACO to provide affordable access to long-distance electronic communication network infrastructure and broadband electronic communication connectivity services in South Africa. To this end, it was imperative that broadband SACO would rapidly enhance electronic communication market efficiency by increasing available capacity and lowering the cost of this network infrastructure that currently impedes private sector investment and the innovation of electronic communication services. So in a nutshell, when broadband SACO was put in place, the government realized that there are some bottlenecks in the provision of backhaul in South Africa. In other words, there were not sufficient players in the national long-distance fiber optic network, as well as the international connectivity. In that regard, I'm not sure if the honorable members are aware that Rotary Infraco is a member of the consortium in the WEC International Cable, which is comprised of various operators around the world, including the major telecoms operators in South Africa, aiming to bring cheap broadband to South Africa. So that we kept here, Southern Infraco, together with the other long-distance network operators, will be able to carry it through to the metro or access layer. And in that regard, I also want to emphasize that it is not problem of intention to play in the access or metro space.
Yeah.
In the access space, in other words, in the residential market. Its aim is simply to concentrate in eradicating the bottleneck in the international connectivity as well as the national long distance network, and in that manner ensure that there's affordable access to electronic communication. Now, all of these things are codified in the Broadband Infraco Act, specifically in Section 4, which states that the mandate of Broadband Infraco is to expand the availability and affordability of access to electronic communication, including access to underdeveloped and underserved areas, through the provision of electronic communication network services, which is ECNS, and electronic communication services, which is ECS. So, when the legislature put in place the Broadband Infraco Act, the aim was to ensure that the prices of broadband comes down, to ensure that South Africans will get to enjoy the benefits of cheap broadband. The benefits of having cheap broadband, I'm quite sure the members will understand, extend to so many areas of our economy that is going to improve the lives of ordinary South Africans. And in that regard, you know, we can start to think about the concept of, you know, e-health, e-education, where you have an expert in one part of the country explaining to a scholar in a rural area in another part of South Africa, even though the two are not in the presence of each other, but through technology, which, you know, will be made cheaper and therefore accessible to those rural areas. Now, Madam Chairperson, with the award of the Ethernet license by ICASA, in simple terms, an Ethernet license will enable Dominic Sarko. I'll just repeat myself, Madam Chairperson. As I was saying, Madam Chairperson and the honorable members, an electronic communication network service license will, in simple terms, enable Brazilian Circle to construct and maintain a network that it currently has. As to whether, in addition, that license will enable Brazilian Circle to also operate that network, is perhaps what is referred to in the ICASA letter of yesterday as one of the legal issues surrounding the licensing process. Because in the view of Brazilian Circle, having an Ethernet license would only be able to put in place an asset and maintain an asset, but will only be able to operate it. For that, in our view, would require an ECS license, which is a public communication services license, to enable us to provide connectivity over the network. Like I said, Madam Chairperson and other members, this is a very technical area, you know, of the ECA in the telecom sector. And it's not that easy to explain in terms of, you know, the distinction between Ethernet and ECS. Even the players in the telecom, you know, sector themselves acknowledge that the distinction is sometimes less. But in a nutshell, Madam Chairperson and the honorable members, that's the mandate of public circle and what the Ethernet license will enable it to do, what we won't be able to do without the ECS license. Thank you.
Okay, sorry. Thanks. Now, let's also say that Infraco stands for Infrastructure Company of South Africa. Sorry.
Yes. I think, you know, the name was given to the company of Bonifin Corporation to really capture the essence of this message. To say that the aim of the company was to provide broadband infrastructure to enable affordable access in South Africa to broadband or to bandwidth. Thank you.
Thank you very much. At this point, I would like to thank ICASA again for coming and explain, even before ICASA says anything, say that we accept and acknowledge the difficulties or the legal difficulties that you are grappling with. And we hope that those difficulties will be resolved fairly soon, because when we met you in September, and now October is giving us back now, you were involved in looking into these legalities, and it looks like you are still involved in looking into these legalities. Now, legal problems emanate from the law. The law that this parliament brings into being. So we would like to hear, if not today, maybe at a later stage, from from you, what are these complications that are emanating from the law? Because this parliament should understand those complications and deal with them. So that if there are complications, that if there is lack of clarity in the law, that should be corrected. Or if there is contradictions in the law, that should be corrected. If there is a problem of regulation, that should also be corrected. So, but I still want to thank ICASA again for coming and for issuing the ECNS license. At this point, I will ask ICASA to... Is the person alive? Okay. All right, thanks. No, I was just told that DPE is here. I don't see too far, so welcome to DPE as well. Dr. Ambrosini?
A question for clarity. The license which has been granted, what does exactly empower you to do? And the license which has not been granted, what would empower you to do?
Actually, he explained, but you are probably busy on your laptop.
No, I'm not.
I will ask him to explain again. He did explain.
Electronic communication network service license in province of you will enable the company to construct and operate, sorry, to construct and maintain the fiber optic network. However, in South Africa, because the license is awarded by South African authorities within the borders of South Africa. However, in Northern South View, the ECNS license on its own is about the ECS license will not enable Northern SACO to operate that network. In other words, to provide connectivity or traffic over that network.
Do you want to engage this? Yes. I just want to open up for everybody, if everybody is like asking for clarity. Do you want us to open up at this stage? Is it the only clarity of? Okay. Let's take a few clarity questions. Dr. Philip?
Madam Chair, I was just hoping that I will also be given an opportunity to explain something about what the intention was when we put this local company into being. How it was supposed, as a vision of government, how we wanted it to operate. So also wanted to say what services that we expected it to bring to the people, or how it was supposed to bring the services, and how the licensing should be envisaged to process as parliament and as government. So if that is understood, then we should ask clarity where we are going forward.
No, it's okay. So I just wanted to know if we are going to open for our own brief explanations and clarity seeking. It looks like that's what members want. Before I take ICASA, then I'll open the session for both clarity seeking questions and for both further clarifications of what was the actual intention. You are on the floor, Dr. Philip. If there is further clarification that you want to do, please proceed.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Madam Chair, you see, I'd like to believe that we are one government, and that we don't work in silos. I'd like to believe that when we have an intention of government to achieve an objective, that all of us are working towards achieving that objective, because that objective has been decided upon prior to us engaging upon the process. In South Africa, we had some problems. The first problem was that long-distance calls were just frightfully expensive, and it was not viable to do business in South Africa. Second thing that we had is that no one, despite the incentive being given by government, I think government has set aside R1 billion or something to existing businesses in South Africa to bring services to the rural area, which if they brought services to the rural area, we're talking about private businesses, they will be given this incentive of money to offset their costs of going there. Despite government making that money available and asking the big players in the market, take this incentive and go and bring services to the rural area, there was little, in fact, there was no movement. Subsequent to that, this government took a decision, and that decision was, listen, we cannot allow long-distance calls to cost so much in South Africa. Second, we have to bring IT services to the rural area because the IT service is not to empower the rural area, but it is an absolute necessity in an area that does not have infrastructure to have this there. For example, I have an interest in e-health. You can do teleradiology, telemedicine, and other things like that. You can do e-education. At the present moment in a rural school where you've got 6 or 7 students, you can really do an e-education with a bilateral communication. And for that, you need speed in communication. And that's what the broadband was supposed to do. The idea of the ECMS network was that this broadband company would take the services to those, the doorstep of those rural areas, which no one was prepared to make the infrastructural investment in. And then from there, independent providers can utilize it where there will be an wholesaler for the services, and they will utilize it to bring the services to the people, and even Centec and others, which are also a government which has got a similar mandate, can do this. So that is a decision that this government took. We said, okay, no one is prepared to make this investment for this country. We as a state-owned enterprise, we are going to make this investment. Now that investment is made with a specific intention to bring services to the rural areas, to bring down the low cost of, lower the cost of long-distance communication. But it also had special projects for which it was supposed to provide IT infrastructure, SKA, Education Network, eHealth, the Kero Telescope Project, and things like that. And this, because no one was going to bring this to them at an affordable rate, this company was supposed to bring this to them at an affordable rate. So this government took that decision politically and in a conscious decision to say, this is what we need to do as a government. Then we said, how do we go about it? We said, okay, we'll set up a state-owned enterprise and we'll call it InfraCo. Okay, once InfraCo is set up, how is it going to be operated? Will it be getting a deemed license because it's a government thing and it's going to be giving the services to the rural people, or is it going to be for them to apply for licenses like everybody else? We said no special preference must be given to a government entity, but however, we understand what the government entity, so we won't deem the license. We'll make the license for ICASA to be independent, and they will give them a license, and they must apply like everybody else. But however, to make the licensing process bulletproof, and for make it to have a smooth transition, enormous amount of meetings were held. I mean, okay, enormous amount of meetings were held, and they involved ICASA, the Competition Commission, the State Internet, the Department of Public Enterprise, and the Department of Communications. All of them came together when they were drawing up the InfraCo bill. And during that process, they had public hearings, and from their information, they decided also that to give them a license that the Electronic Communications Act had to be amended. Now, the process ran parallel. Electronic Communication Act got amended, the InfraCo bill came into place, public hearings took place, and both bills went through and assented to by the President. Now, that should have opened the way for the license. Then, the Minister gave the directive. By the directive that was given, they called for licenses, there were hearings again, and the license process was supposed to continue. Now, suddenly, there are a whole lot of legal opinions about whether this license can be given or not. Now, this is, to me, doesn't make sense, because to prevent this discussion, we went through the process of the extensive consultation with all relevant parties to say, what do we include into this bill such that we can have a smooth transition? Now, after you do all of that, then the smooth transition is not taking place. We get worried about what is going on now. Now the government has spent billions in InfraCo. Money is sitting there. They are sitting there. They are actually renting a license now from a company, which we are in government. And so this doesn't make sense to us, and we wanted to say, what needs to be done now for us to make the process go forward? Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm sorry if I was long-winded, but that's...
Madam Chair, just if I understand it correctly, what is happening here is that it's like the Defense Force buying 8 Boeing, but we don't license the pilots for it to fly it. So it's no use buying it. It's a ship with the Boeings and they can't fly anyway. So it's of no use. You're wasting money. What we would like to know is who will be operating it, and then, you know, you can't have the ratepayer pay for something and they sit with all this cost that is there and they don't get the benefit of that. Maybe if a private company comes in and they want to make a lot of profit out of it, then the ratepayer is not the winner in the end, and although he has paid for it. So we must be very careful with that.
Dr. Ambrosini.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The nature of my question, you have repeated what you said the first time, which I did here, was about, and I apologize for not being as prepared as I should be about the practice, but, so correct me if I'm wrong, my understanding is that you lay down the highway, and to that end, you're receiving funding from the South African government and from the international community. According to your website, the bulk of your money should come from the international community. Now, the license that you have received enables you to, correct me if I'm wrong, to lay down the highway and to charge people for using it. Now, the other license that you are seeking is for you to use the highway yourself. Now, if I understand correctly, your mandate is not that of an operator. You need to set up an infrastructure, otherwise we're going to have another monopoly, which everyone can use by paying a toll. So if my understanding is correct, and I apologize, I've not done as much research, I didn't know that you were coming here today, as I should have in preparation of this meeting. A great man said once, the only thing I know is that I know nothing. So, and he was killed. But the... I don't see your having been established to be an operator, to be another telecom, and correct me if I'm wrong, at a broadband level. And one of the problems that we've experienced has been the telecom monopoly in promoting internet connectivity. So the question is, am I right in my understanding? If not, please correct me. And if I'm right, why should you operate your highway when your mission is to let the operators by everyone at the lowest possible cost? So there is competition, so that the cost of services is going to be the lowest possible, and the reach of service is going to be the lowest possible, because government will be in the position of purchasing the service which intends to deliver to areas which are not economically viable service to the commercial and the rural areas. Thank you.
Concerns. One, I think ICASA should actually be with the explanation, it may rule out some of the questions of clarity here. But there's only one thing that I would like to ask. When Intraco was going to be established, all the role players came around the table. Now, for me, it's completely unacceptable and illogical. Where a state, provides for a company to be formed to provide certain services, and with all the stakeholders involved in terms of what it should look, and then a regulator that the state has put into place then decides virtually unilaterally whether that company can function or not function after billions of rand has been poured into it. It's illogical, it doesn't make sense. And I really would like some kind of explanation from them. Thank you.
My question actually was redirected to ICASA before ending the presentation, in that they've issued out the ECNS license already. Now there is this ECNS license that they will issue out to consider as well. But now my concern, because here is the rural areas that we are concerned about, all of us in South Africa. So why don't they issue out the license that will only look into covering the rural areas? That was my question. Thank you.
Chairperson, thank you. If I recall correctly, the Minister for Communications, when he addressed this meeting, he said that he doesn't believe in this rural thing. That was his words, if you remember. So is that not part of the delay? Because he's the Minister for Communications and for the urgency. Because he don't believe, he only sees for the long distance, but the rural thing, his words were, I don't believe in this rural thing. That's what he said. Now, the issue is the other way. What's the barrier? Just in a nutshell, what is the barrier? Why can't the license be issued?
Or not?
Doctor,
I speak up to you.
Thank you, Chairperson. A very simple, straightforward question to Inkrokko. Not about the ECMS license, but the ECS license. We were told here that Infracro should not play a role in the ECMS provision of service and tariffs. And I heard now Infracro say they need the ECS license, they need to play a role. Can you clarify this?
Okay,
that's
I don't know if I'm speaking to ICASA particularly or to all of us in this room. The cost of communication is too high in South Africa. And that is the point that Dr. Pule was raising. That was the reason, one of the reasons, the main reasons why Infraco as a company was put in place, to lower the cost of communication. Secondly, access to communication in the rural areas is a problem. So Infraco was put in place to solve two problems. And there was recognition in all the deliberations, including in the object of the law, that where no service provider is willing or able to provide that service in the rural areas, Infraco should be able to do that and should do that. And if they do not get this ECN license, they will never be able to do that, because we know how things operate. Service is usually given to the metropolis, where money is, where there is everything, where there is infrastructure. So the infrastructure, even if Infraco will lay an infrastructure to the rural areas, it will be redundant, because there is normally not an incentive, like Dr. Pillay said, that even after the government called on people and incentivized them to render a service in the rural areas, that did not happen. So it will be waste of taxpayers' money to lay the infrastructure, because we don't know why in the first place, why previously, these service providers failed to, even when incentivized, to provide the service in the rural area. How will they go and provide it now? So, secondly, I want to say to everybody else, I have been to Tunisia, and we are the biggest economy in Africa. But communication in countries like Tunisia is not only
affordable, it is highly accessible, including in every quarter of Tunisia. Every household has got internet access and an email address. They don't use the P.O. box, 15 Parliament, like every single household has got a computer subsidized by the state and has got a network. The network is touching every corner of Tunisia, and that has proved to be an economic push and boost and drive. Now, if you are not careful, so many things hinge on communication, so many aspects of the economy. And it cannot be right that the state realized the potential that communication play in the economy, put a company into place spending millions and more than a billion of taxpayers' money, and will still spend a lot. And yet, the issue of access to communication by all South Africans, including those who are in the rural areas, it is also their right and their constitutional right to have access to communication, keeps on evading them or keeps on being elusive. So we really need to be convinced. In fact, at the end of this meeting, I think within a month's time, we should know as this portfolio committee, is Infraco receiving that license or is it not receiving that license? And if it is not receiving that license, we should know what are the reasons. If those reasons are in the law, this committee and this parliament must go and look into those issues in the law and correct them. So that first intention is fulfilled and is fulfilled by the end of this year. Thanks. I will hand over to ICASA to give you a chance to explain to us your problems. As I said earlier on, it might be that you are sitting with genuine problems that we are failing to understand. So we would like you to enlighten us about the problems you are facing, and we invite you to put them before us so that we facilitate the process of resolving those problems. Because
thank you very much, Chairperson and members. I think when we're here on the 15th of September, at that stage, the process was still at a committee level. Like I explained last time, the process I think is at committee level, and then the recommendation gets taken to council, that is the final decision. So the committee that was mandated to look into the licensing in Infraco submitted this report. And council said on 6th October to consider the issues before it. And at that meeting, council arrived at a particular decision, and that decision was to say that the Infraco should be granted the EPS license. However, the EPS license was never considered in that meeting, which was not discussed, because we recognize the fact that there are certain challenges. And in the previous meeting, we had explained that we received a letter from the on the 5th of August indicating to us his intention to amend an earlier policy directive to the effect that the track court should be issued with an license. We also explained on the 15th of September that right from the beginning, when the first policy directive was issued on the 5th of February, we had considered the two applications by the Frankfurt simultaneously all the way through when the hearings were held and even during our deliberation on the license funding. Considered necessary. So when Minister wrote to us in taking his intention to amend as a politician. Obviously, then it has implications for the process going forward. We may not simply ignore that intention. But when we came here on the 16th of September, it was simply a letter that we received from the minister. Now, the minister has gone ahead to actually gazette that policy directly. That was done on the 13th of October. So at this stage, the policy directive is being consulted on. And there's a period of 30 days within which people have to comment on the policy directive. Now, the minister issued the policy directive in terms of the Electronic Communications Act. And the Act says that when CASA takes decisions, it has to consider policy directives that are issued by the minister. Like I said, we cannot simply ignore needless to say, Chair, we also received advice from our legal services department, because counsel was considering this matter for the first time on the 6th of October, and therefore that decision then had to go to our legal services, and they advised us in a particular way. Yesterday, counsel met again. Now, with the advantage of having the legal advice, as well as now having the former policy directive from the minister, although it's not a final directive, but at least it's a couple of things. However, council then decided that the TRACO should be issued with the ECMS license, and that we should not issue the ECMS license pending the legal issues around this particular license, including obviously the policy directive from the minister. And at a particular time or at a particular stage, then the CASA will then have to sit and evaluate the merits of the license, taking into account all the issues around that particular issue. So as we stand, Chair, council has not taken a decision on the merits of the decision. And I want us to separate between licensing process issues and policy matters. As I indicated last time, when we held our hearings, our public hearings, the question of whether Infraco should operate or not, or whether there is a need to establish a state-owned entity in the nature of Infraco, we never entertained, because we believe that those policy matters were settled when the Infraco Act was passed by the Parliament. And so we didn't delve into those debates, because we thought that those debates should not arise at this stage because of the process. Our duty as the CASA was to consider the application that Infraco lost the act in the normal course. She said, how should Infraco be licensed in such a manner that it fulfills its mandate in terms of the Infraco Act as well as in terms of the Electronic Communication Act? That was our intention. And hence, the specific terms and conditions that have been crafted on the ECMS license, if you scrutinize them closely, you see that they actually align with the Infraco Act in terms of trying to say, what does the Infraco Act mean by saying that Infraco should provide affordable services? So we try to interpret that and then put that as a license terms and conditions. What does the Infraco Act mean by saying that Infraco should provide access to underdeveloped and underserved areas? What does that mean? And we interpreted that and put it as a license terms and conditions in their license. So by and large, Chair, we tried to interpret the Infraco Act and put it as a license terms and conditions into the Infraco license. So as we state, the ECS license is still under consideration, but the ECMS license has been issued in the and Chair, like I indicated, there are complications really around the ECS, And last time, when Minister wrote to us, he actually responded by saying that we believe that this issue should be best dealt with by the Department of Communications as the policy department and the Department of Public Enterprises as the shareholder department in Infraco, and that they should take that matter at that particular level. And we still believe that should happen. However, we now have a policy directive that is directed at us as the company. That we need to consider and that we can implement.
I'm thinking, but I need to ask you two questions. And let me take the list of members. Sorry?
Take the point of order. I'm very concerned. They say that the matter is still under consideration. I don't think we can constitutionally have this hearing. They're an independent authority established under the Constitution. They're still considering the matter. And we are holding a hearing as parliament. I think it's constitutionally unpermissible.
The exercise is not to do what you are warning us against.
We cannot discuss this matter.
No.
It's a foreign independent authority.
No. We have a right, like we did the last time, to call them. And that's why I said that at the end of the process, when they have considered the ECN license, if there are legal issues, because their communication to us says that there are legal difficulties, and those legal difficulties should be resolved by this parliament. We are not interfering in the process
They are part of their decision making. We can review the decision making, we can change the law, but while they are in the process of deciding, it has just been advised. I think
been advised.
Yes, just that the matter is still under consideration.
No.
In your presentation, I was given to understand that the second license has been denied, and that's why we are here. It was not granted. But as I understand, it's still under consideration. So I feel very uncomfortable.
This matter was still under consideration last month on the 15th, and we brought them here and we discussed it. And we said up front, we recognize that they are an independent authority, and we are not trying to influence them, and we are not trying to interfere with their proposal. And that still holds. That does not subtract from our right to hear out, firstly to thank them for issuing the ECN license and asking them to say that we think, like we said the last time, in a month's time, we hope that your processes will be concluded, and if there are legal issues that are emanating, which are difficulties, you bring them to this parliament so that this parliament can see what can do with those legal problems. Dr. Mangena, I have noted you. Your second, sir, Sunday. Madam Hadid. I'll ask my two questions after I've taken this round. Dr. Tilley. Mr. Kolo, is your hand up? Okay.
Oh, I thought you asked first. Didn't you say that?
It's okay. No, there are things that I don't understand, but maybe it's better if I say them last. Because I wanted to understand what is in the policy directive. Because we are told about a policy directive we've never seen. We don't know what the contents are of. That's the first thing. Secondly, I don't know whether the Gazette is an intention or is a Gazette. We don't also know what is in the Gazette. So we are told about things we are grappling to understand. Maybe if we saw those things, we will understand the process and we will back off from the process. But we are told about things that we don't understand as being reasons that are creating a problem for you to conclude the process. All that we are saying is that we want you to conclude this process and conclude it speedily. Because all we want is that people in the rural areas of South Africa should have both the infrastructure to communicate and the services rendered to them to communicate as it was intended when Infraco was put in place. Dr. Mangena.
Thank you, Chair. I think I agree with one of the statements that was made by CASA that this matter can be resolved by the two departments, the meeting to sort out this problem related to the two licenses. If those departments agree and they issue a policy, and then this issue
can be resolved. But at the technical level, I just want to understand whether there is a, there are some legal impediments to the two licenses being issued, whether there is a problem there. And if there is, whether we as, then we as Parliament might have to look at how we visit the relevant acts to make sure that the objectives that are envisaged are actually met. The last one is members of all, honorable members have already talked about the intention and the amount of money that has already been spent, the public money to set up the company and so on, and what it's supposed to do. Amongst other things, apart from access to underserviced areas, also research institutions of public interest, the Sunrise program that connects all higher education institutions, research institutions such as ESIR and so on, the bid for the SKA for 160 billion rand, the current expenditure that is already very high, also the salt and so on, all are supposed to benefit from the from Infraco. Now, with the issuing of the ECNS license, will Infraco be able to do these things? Will it be able to advantage the large-scale research institutions, the public interest that we are talking about, SALT, SKA, and universities, and so on? Will that still be possible, or won't it be? Because you see, we might have a situation where, once again, we create our own good policy positions, but then we get bogged down by our own laws, and we are not able to advantage ourselves as we wanted to do. So, can you get clarity whether you will be able to do this or not?
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, I just want to make the observation that I think, you know, ICASA is turning this whole issue into a talk shop. Really, this is my personal opinion. I think they wish they were signing in Parliament. We had them a while ago, and today we hear again that there's ministerial policy directives, and it seems to me as if the Minister for Communications is not sympathetic to this committee and to Infraco company. And in the meanwhile, the telco monster is making money and profit to the disadvantage and to the not to the benefit of the poor of South Africa, and we waste a lot of money. Now, even ICASA today, the words were a short while ago that the board at some particular stage will make a decision. You know, we're tired of listening to all this policy directive, red tapes, the board will consider, reconsider. The question is very simple. What is the obstacle? What is the barrier? Just tell us, what do you hide from this committee? Tell us, why don't you issue the ECS license? What is the problem? Just in a nutshell, you can say it in one sentence. If I have to tell someone you can't go there, I will tell them you can't go there because of this and this. Finish and class. Just tell us why not. What is the problem? Why do we have to wait to listen to all this talk and red tapes and policy directives and legal advice and et cetera, et cetera? Tell us what is your problem so that we can try and solve the problem, or at least then the two ministers should get together and try and solve the problem. But we're tired of hearing every time that it's this thing and it's that thing, and, you know, we don't go anywhere. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Just a few points. First of all, on the question of constitutionality, this ICASA board is not a judicial body. We do not want me to infringe in the work of your council, but this is not a judicial body. This parliament has a mandate, according to the constitution, to investigate all matters pertaining to the welfare of the people of South Africa. and one can take it further in terms of the law, but I don't think we're going to discuss this. That's the issue at discussion right now. What I find interesting, and this is what my colleague over there also said, that we persist even in the new, this new government. One of the things that we decided that there must be interdepartmental cooperation all the time, and we have to stop working in silos. But we seem to be continuing to do so. You knew you were going to come here. You knew that there was a policy director from your minister, from the Minister of Communications. Why wasn't a copy of the Gazette made available to this committee, so we could actually see what is this policy direction? That's the first thing, because you're telling us something that we can't interrogate. Because we can then ask the minister to come here and explain to us what is this direction. But I think you should have, because you are using that as a tool, so you should have made that available to us. So the feeling is here that, you know, promises are made, promises are not kept. And the feeling that we get is that ICASA seems to arrogate to itself a certain standard of behavior, you know, that it's a law unto itself and it doesn't have to account to anybody. And I think that is not acceptable by this parliament. And just as in terms of when the InfraCo law came into being, all the law advisors were there as part of the part and parcel of the discussion of this InfraCo and its mandate and how it's going to impact with the other stakeholders. Somehow the others, the law advisors were all silent, or whatever happened, God knows what happened, that this thing developed into the mess it is now. And in my mind, a completely unnecessary mess. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Madam Chair, what I might say now, they politically fry me. I think it needs to be said. And I'm hoping that the other side is going to also look at it in the same way. Part of our function here as a portfolio committee is to also oversight companies. So if a particular authority, a particular government authority, a particular ministry is not performing what it's supposed to do, then it is our job to oversight that ministry and say, listen, we are not absolutely 100% satisfied in the way you are handling this particular matter. And therefore, in that sense, we need to intervene as Parliament, because Parliament is separate from the government. I hope I'm clear in my understanding. I'm a new member, so if I'm wrong, I'll correct it. Yeah. So therefore, for us today here, what we are trying to establish is, from the third arm, from Parliament side, if the government authority is not doing what it needs to do to enable us to achieve our objective or what we said was our objective, then what do we need to do to make that happen? Now, my worry about this process is this. I understand the CASA, as Honorable Ambrosini says, under process, it's looking at things, and it's looking at things in a correct manner. It does not want to open itself out to litigation. But we are saying something here. To mitigate against that, we actually built a bulletproof process after extensive consultation prior to the act being passed, and going as far as amending the Electronic Communication Act, such that we have a bulletproof process, and what we say is called a bullying letter, just open the path for this to go through. And it should be like a hot knife to water this goes through, because we know what it wants to do.
Now we go through that process, and we see when the process has started to happen, we go back, and we go back trying to say what's going to happen. Now to me, I'm very clear about the law. The law doesn't work retrospectively. Anybody will tell you that unless it's a specific issue. Following the two extreme promulgators, the ministerial directive was given. If there's an intention to change in some way, that cannot be retrospective. There's an application now, it must go through and it must finish. Later you can look at that in that way. What you can do to mitigate against it is to be very, very specific on your condition. Our understanding when we looked at it, when we looked at the Infra Co Act, it was for A and B, that they had to get both licenses because it was understood that even with the ECNS license, they can't even do wholesaling of the thing because it amounts to a service to a certain extent, and therefore both licenses need to be given. But if you're given the ECNS license, you can be very, very specific. If you say it must go to this area, this rural area, this area, but more importantly, into what Honorable Mangena was saying. No, I'm not telling them how to issue it. I'm asking a question is to say, if this was the objective, there is a nebulous fear now that this may interfere with the retail business of some retail community people. There's a nebulous fear that this may interfere with other people who are doing business. We are saying, if that fear is in it, let's accommodate that fear and mitigate against it and look at it in a particular way. But let me explain to you why, to me, this is. Because when the InfraCo, yeah, I want to say to you now, I'm speaking as a doctor, when the InfraCo Act was put into place, the Department of Health went into an extensive process preparing. Good people, I want to tell you today, you are killing people because you could save lives by adding a broadband infrastructure and infrastructure in the rural areas. In a rural area where you do not have transport or anything, I can put an ultrasound on the patient and I can have somebody 5,000 miles away read that. I can have teleradiology, I can have other things brought to people. It's so easy. If a person, I don't know whether this person has got a heart attack or not, I do an ECG and I can send that ECG by email, I can get a reply. This is what we want to do. Besides, we have got, as Honorable Mangena said, we have got the SKA project, we got the Telescope project, and this kind of thing. We're going to be a laughing stock to try to provide a service for that. And we really want to do this, and we can't understand why would we as government want to do a service for people who have our own government.
Madam Chair, I just want to issue a word of caution. We're putting ICASA in between a rock and a hard place because on the one end we have the minister saying, no, you mustn't issue the license. On the other side, we are saying, well, you must issue the license. Who has got the most power? I think we should sort out the problem with the minister. If ICASA is independent and so independent as they claim to be, then why are they listening to a directive that has no legal standing that was issued by the minister? I mean, if it was gazetted, it's still in the process and it has no, to me, no legal standing, like Honorable Pillay has said already. So we must just be careful. We are shooting the messenger here. They're only bringing us a message. They told us directly where the barrier is. It's the minister and it's not them. So we must sort that out.
There are two questions that ICASA and Frapo need to answer, especially the one of I might have missed the other, of Dr. Mangena, about the license. What is the, does it enable you to do in terms of providing access and providing a service to the outskirts of rural parts of South Africa? I agree with Dr. Pillay and I agree with Mr. Fernandez. I think that the problem might not necessarily lie with ICASA. It lies with the Minister of Communication. And this is one thing I did not want to say earlier on, but I think I should say it here. ICASA must tell us whether it's independent. They are independent but not so independent from the Minister of Communication. We need to understand that independence. Secondly, to members of Parliament, I'm saying that this issue of power relations between Parliament and the executive, this is a typical example of who should actually bear the final responsibility of ensuring that the state's intention and the laws that were put in place to fulfill that state intention of providing access and service to the rural areas is realized. Because we don't even know the policy directive, we don't know the gazette. In fact, I heard yesterday that that is not even a gazette, even that gazette is an intentional. And I've never heard that an intention can be gazetted. But the problem is we don't even have the copy of a gazette, we don't have the copy of the policy directive. And we don't know the reasons for those things. What I think we should do, if the committee agrees, before ICASA and Infraco respond to the question that they were posed, do we agree that on the 20th of November, by the 20th of November, ICASA should have said yes or no to the application of the ECS license and communicate with us if it has said yes, the conditions that pertain to that license. And if they had said no, they must still communicate with us the reasons for declining that, that application so that we then know what to do. But in the meantime, we will ask ICASA and the Department of Communication to send us that policy directive and that gazette. We will look into it on our own, and having looked into it, we will then decide whether to call the Minister of Communication or not. But let's also bear in mind that the Department of Communication is supposed to be here. They said they will be here at 10 o'clock. But Dr. Mangena also said that this matter can be resolved between the two departments. I don't know, well, there's not a problem with that, but I don't think that should be read as usurping Parliament's role in investigating this issue and wanting to see this issue with its logical conclusion. Yes, those departments may sit there. As long as they are sitting there, it's understood to facilitate the process of ensuring that Infraco fulfills the twin objectives that were given by the law, to provide access and to render services, especially to the poor and the rural areas. ICASA and members, do you agree on the deadline set?
I had a question before you said something. You skipped me.
Okay, sorry, I didn't see you. My apologies. You may take the floor.
So we will leave your question on the floor, the question for the committee. Three things. I've read the act and I've read what it was to be read, but I don't know exactly what it is that we're talking about, because in the end, it will all depend on terms and conditions. Personally, my concern is that whatever it is that has been applied for remains within the nature of an infrastructure and not in the nature of a business provided to end users, which is going to lead to another monopoly. It is true that the ICASA Act has two different provisions in terms of its objectives. Within the parameters of setting up infrastructure, the one electronic communication network services, and the other one electronic communication services. The one is network services, and the other one is services. But as I read, doesn't seem to be a services, it's an infrastructure service as opposed to a consumer service. So what I would like to request to you, Madam Chairman, is to have copy and a request from Infraco, because I don't think we have the authority of requesting it from ICASA, copies of both applications. Those are much more important than the calculated intention of the minister, which each of us can retrieve from the internet. So if we can have copies of both of them, then we can apply our mind to the terms and conditions so that it remains an infrastructure and not another monopoly. The other comment that I think I need to say this because it's absolutely important. When I
here, the Honorable Pillay referring to a camp as part of government. I mean, we need to disabuse ourselves of such a notion. They are not part of government. They are independent from government, they are independent from answers. They should not be held to account by Parliament, not because they say so, but because the Carlos Asma report says so. And pointing out how the first, second, and third Parliament misconstrue the relationship between the Chapter 9 institutions and the oversight function. So
we have 1 minute left.
I shall raise something. So I'm a little wary against that to give any deadline. I'm sure that they will not relate their duty to.
Don't speak on behalf of ICASA. If they are our deadline is too tight for them, they will say so.
No, it's the very notion of Parliament telling an independent a Chapter 9 institution when to do something by. Which I find problematic.
So you've got your facts totally mixed up. They are not a Chapter 9 institution.
Well, in terms of their act, which I would like to quote to you, they are exercising the functions of the IBA.
No.
And they are operating in terms of
the... Mr.
You told me my facts are right.
No, I'm
sorry. You cannot challenge my competence without giving me an opportunity to correct your statement,
no.
Which is incorrect, Madam
Chair. Chapter 9 institutions are outlined in Chapter 9 of the Constitution.
May I refer you to...
And ICASA is not one of them in that chapter of the
Constitution. May I refer you to the Act?
I have ruled you out of order. I have taken all the other questions that you have made, except the statement that they are a Chapter 9 institution. They are not. And secondly, Kara Asma's report has not even been considered by this Parliament, and it's not law, for your information. So we will note the issues that you are raising. I will create the space now to ICASA to respond and to InfraCo to respond to the questions and statements. And if the deadline that you are giving ICASA is inappropriate, they will say so to us themselves. Over to you, ICASA.
Thank you.
Stop your mic, Dr. Ambrosini.
Thank you very much, Chairperson and honorable members. Chair, I had a copy of the amended policy directive. It was published on the 13th of October in Government Gazette number 32639. It is in the gazette. But like I said, I will leave a question for the members. But Chair, the amended policy directive does not come from the CASA. It's a DOC document. And unfortunately, perhaps we should have provided a copy to the members, but we apologize for that. Chair, I think there are some, probably should I say, unfair criticism that has come from some honorable members that ICASA is a law unto itself. We operate within the confines of the law. We have the Electronic Communications Act that guides us. And Chair, if I may read section 3.3 of the Electronic Communications Act, actually section 3.4, it says the authority in exercising its powers and performing its duties in terms of this act and the related legislation must consider policies made by the minister in terms of subsection 1 and policy directions issued by the minister in terms of subsection 2. This is the act that guides us, Chair, and we cannot operate outside of this. And if there are any suggestions that ICASA can simply ignore a policy direction issued by the minister, I think, Chair, that would be probably because that would be acting outside of what the law says. Hence, we are saying, currently as we stand, we have this policy direction that ICASA must follow. if we don't take it into account, or if we don't act according to that policy direction, we have to provide reasons. It doesn't necessarily mean that whatever the minister issues in the policy directive, we have to act upon. But if we don't, we need to provide reasons. Hence, we are saying, when a decision is taken on the ECS license, and Chair, a decision has not been taken to deny and fracture the ECS license. When a decision is taken, whether to issue or not, we will provide reasons. Inasmuch as the decision is taken to issue the ECS license, we will still provide reasons why we issued the DCNS license to Infraco. That is standard practice. For those reasons, the support comes. But we are saying at this stage, we have not even gone to the extent of evaluating the merits of the ECS license as we have done in the DCNS license, due to these uncertainties around the ECS license. And we are saying part of that relates to this idea that Infraco must only be issued with an ECS license. And we have suggested time and again that those issues be dealt with by the Department of Communications and the Department of Public Enterprise and the Secretary of State. However, if they are not, then obviously the CASA needs to take a decision, and we will take a decision and make known our reasons there. So as we stand, Chair, unfortunately, I suppose, and I think some of part of the discussion really tends to get into the merits of the ECS. Why doesn't Infraco deserve an ECS license? And as a couple, we have not entertained that discussion. We have not yet gone into that discussion. Chair, the Gazette, in my understanding, well, I cannot again sit here and say the Gazette policy direction has no legal effect. Unfortunately, I'm not a lawyer, so I cannot say that it actually has a legal standing. And those are some of the issues that we're trying to clarify as well before the decision is taken. Whether there is a problem of the two licenses issued, I think, Chair, most of the questions really are quite similar. As we have indicated, we have issued one license, but we have not issued the other because of the uncertainty around that. And as soon as that is clarified, we will be able to give. In terms of the time frame given for a decision, I'm a bit worried to bind council to a particular deadline. I will have to check the proposal from the committee there to council. And perhaps what we could do is to then give this committee a progress report whenever new information comes up or whenever a particular decision is taken. We will be able to update the committee in terms of progress. Chair, I'll probably leave it to Infraco to talk about what the ECNS license means in terms of going into underserved and underdeveloped areas.
Before I
give
over to
Infraco,
I've seen a hand from your colleagues that wants to add, but I also want to hear from DP. I understand there, yeah? Okay. Just to explain that. If you can't meet the deadline on the 20th, that day should be the date on which you give us progress report. Because we need to, before we write as Parliament, know where this problem stands, where we stand with this problem, so that when we make plans for the new year, we should make plans fully knowing where the situation is. So that's why the deadline is kind of tight. It relates to the fact that we will be writing soon, and we want to write fully knowing what the situation is. So we will accept that you will report back to the council, we can't bind it, but we will accept that by the 20th at least we should get a progress report identifying how far you are and what are the hurdles, if there are any. And we are also extending a hand to you to say that we are there to facilitate, if you want us to facilitate, if there are legal blockages, tell us so, then we should plan to
to deal with those legal topics. To you, sir.
Thanks, Madam Chair. I just wanted to point out that the date that you pointed out, it falls within the working days that the minister expects comments on the policy directive that is issued. So you may not be able to get the answer until after the closing date for submissions, where you can say we've taken this or that position on the matter, and that's where we stand.
When will be the closing date?
It's just after the church. I think the 24th, I think it's the Monday or the Tuesday after.
Now, after the closing date, we'll give you 4 working days. Our predicament is we are rising in Parliament. And as I'm sure you will accept that this matter has dragged on for too long. Ikasa has been a white elephant for too long. We've spent money on it. It's not Ikasa, sorry, my apologies, in trouble. Sorry. That was not mentioned. So, you must first acknowledge that in this process that took too long and we cannot expect you to take longer than this. So, at least if you say the 24th, by the 30th of November, we need either a report to say you have said no or yes for reasons or a progress report. But by when this parliament rises on the 15th of December, we should definitely rise fully knowing whether you have allocated a ECN license or not to ICASA. GPE, do you want to speak first or do you want to speak after ICASA? You have been mandated to sit with Department of Communication to resolve this problem. We want to know from you, have you done that? Are you in the process of doing that or what is your take at the suggestion?
If you ask the department and they acknowledge that they are here, and you ask them a question, I can't see that they must first get instructions from the department before they can answer you. If you ask them the questions, they must answer. They can't get instructions how to answer you.
I don't know what they are doing here. Having flown all the way, and then they can't answer questions before. We prefer to understand you, sir. Can you re-explain yourself? Are you part of it?
Yes.
How many are you?
Three.
None of you can say anything on this matter. Your position.
Yes.
So you do have a position.
Yes.
No, provide it. He will tell you what answer we're looking for from you. Apparently, you are the only person mandated to speak on this one after consulting.
Chair, while the department is taking a couple of minutes consulting, can we also have a deadline for the submission of the information from IPRACO, copies of the 2 applications?
Sorry?
Can we also have a deadline for the submission of the 2 documents from IPRACO?
We have not entertained anything to that. We'll come back to your request. We have not entertained it as a committee. Maybe
we should take ICASA in the meantime once they are talking to themselves.
Thank you, Madam Chairperson, and the honorable members. I just want to quickly address the 4 issues that were raised by the honorable members. In relation to the issue of the draft policy direction, I just want to make the point that this policy direction stands now is just a draft. It's not the final policy direction, and therefore I'm not sure I understand why should we cut it into account before deciding on our application for the ECS license. And as pointed out previously by the honorable member, once the final policy direction kicks in,
not going to operate retrospectively because there's a strong constitutional principle against the law of operating retrospectively. And therefore, you know, in terms of the principle, the policy directly cannot affect our current application of an ECS license. And the final comment on this draft policy direction is that even when it becomes the final policy direction, ICASA in terms of the ECA is not binding on ICASA. ICASA is only obliged to consider it, but it's not binding. Thereafter, ICASA must make its own independent decision regarding our ECS license.
Are you not being unfair? Okay. You say he's not being unfair. Okay.
No,
you see, I'm aware of the situation where an applicant tells the person that he is applying to how to deal with the application. I'm checking whether you are not being disagreed.
I was simply giving the honourable members the benefit of the law as understood in terms of the ECA, Madam Chair.
Please proceed, but be wary of entering a state where you dictate to them how they should consider your license.
Honourable Member Dr. Mangiana,
as a point of clarity, I just need to get something in my head straight. Maybe I'll ask for clarity then.
No,
because I need that answer which what you're saying. Okay, I'll wait, but I think...
Let's allow
me
to finish, then you ask.
I was saying that Honourable Mangiana raised an issue regarding whether we've only an ECNS license. Probably UFACO can still support projects of national interest as mandated in terms of the Probably UFACO Act. Well, you know, the project that we are currently looking at is the MIACAS and FKA, and those projects are driven by the Meraga Institute, which is the operating arm of CSIR. Now, the limitation that comes with only having an ECNS license is that you can only provide services to other licensed operators or license-exempt entities. Now, we understand that the Meraga Institute is a license-exempt entity, and therefore, in this regard, Northern Park will be able to provide support to those projects. However, going forward, if there were any other projects of national interest that are rendered by unlicensed entities, then Protein Fact would require an ECS license to provide services or to provide support to the national project. There was also an issue raised by an honorable member regarding the mandate of Protein Fact, that Protein Fact is an infrastructure company, and therefore, you know, its mandate is limited to providing infrastructure. Well, without going into the debate as to what led to the promulgation of the Broadband Infrastructure Act, all I can say in response to this issue is that in terms of the Broadband Infrastructure Act, the mandate is very clear, and it is to expand or to provide affordable access to electronic communication through the provision of ECNS and ECS. And for Broadband Infrastructure to provide ECS, it requires an ECS license. The last issue that I want to address is in relation to the rollout of communication services to rural areas. When we're negotiating the license terms and conditions in ICASA, one of those terms was the universal service obligation, in terms of which we undertook to provide an implementation plan to ICASA, whereby we envisage partnering with relevant partners in the rural areas to ensure that the access to electronic communication reach people residing within those rural areas. However, within the very same implementation plan, it was also contemplated that in the event that the channel subsidy partner does not work, broadband infrastructure would have to go into the rural areas itself to make sure that the service is available to people living in those areas. Now, in the absence of an ECS license, Robin in fact won't be able to do that. Thank you.
I've noticed the answer.
I'm happy to respond to that, Madam Chairperson. And I also like our shareholder to also respond to that. So that business plan was submitted to our shareholder as well as the National Treasury and have been approved by those relevant stakeholders. And in as far as Province Parkway is aware, no aspect of the business plan has been changed up to date. Thank you.
Okay. Before I take GTE, in class I want to say something.
No, sure. I think it's fine. I was here in Frankfurt going into the merits of the RTCA application and I was not consulted with that.
Okay. When that happens again, just indicate to me that I'll come back. Thank you. GPE.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and to the Honourable Members. My name is Ursula.
Who did you go and consult before you
The DG. Well, I couldn't get hold of her.
Who are you people? Introduce yourself first.
I'm Ursula Figueres. I'm heading legal and governance at DPE.
Your teammate?
I'm Renan Seta. I'm a director at the DPE. The operations of
Infracom. I'm a special advisor to the Minister of Public Enterprise.
Hi, I'm Yumiru Gweta from the Ministry.
I'm Sam Maduana from DPA.
So, you're on your own, you didn't get GG, you want an answer to
it. Yes, and once again, thank you, Madam Chair and the Honourable Members. You've asked us to respond with respect to our discussions with the DOC, that's my understanding.
Resolve,
aim
at resolving this battle.
Okay. In terms of, at least our view, our view has been that Infraco does need an ECF license, and this is based, as has been discussed quite extensively here, on the mandate of Infraco as prescribed in the Infraco Act. We believe that they should, yeah, because as I stated, the Infraco Act expressly states that their mandate includes providing electronic communication services. And so that was the view that we took, and that's the view that we've communicated, particularly as also has been discussed earlier, that Infraco was established in order to unblock certain market impediments in the space of broadband services. And obviously, as part of that, we did consider whether or not it could just be electronic communication network services. And the decision was that it would also need ECS. It should also provide ECS. And as has been stated, that was something that was canvassed and discussed with the DOC, as well as that was provided for the public to comment on when we were promulgating the Infraco Act. So that was our view, and we did have those discussions with the DOC. And the response I suppose that we have received is through the publication of the intention to amend the policy direction. And that really has been the response that we got, even though initially DOC, the Minister of Communications, did publish a policy direction asking ICASA to consider granting an ECMS and an ECS license. So there appears to have been a change from the DOC in that respect.
We will urge you to as they said, we'll urge you to talk to your sister department and to give us a report within reasonable time. Because we don't really understand the basis of twisting the goalpost on behalf of the Department of Communication. You have not spoken to the issue of the business plan. Can you confirm that the business plan has not been changed? Then I'll take your clarification.
In my understanding, yes, the business plan of Infraco was approved. So I'm not sure whether the reference to the change in the business plan is linked to the license application or what the aspect that actually that people require clarity on within the business plan itself.
So in
an
actual, the business plan remains the same, it's unchanged, as far as you know. Thank you very much. Dr. Kim?
Madam Chair, I need to get clarity from ICASA because if they are truly independent now, they must tell me if my understanding is wrong. You have an Electronics Communication Act, you have an Infraco Act. You were given a policy directive based on those two acts from the minister. Based on that policy directive, you called for application. Prior to the Infraco Act being promulgated, and it was a bill, you had public participation in the whole process, went through the normal rigorous process of participation. After that, the minister published policy directives, which you are supposed to, in terms of the Electronics Communication Act, to consider those policy directives when issuing a license, as you say. Based on the policy directives, you called for application, and Broadband Infraco made an application. That application was public, and the business plan was public, and that's why people were given the opportunity to comment on the application. In the processing of the application, there was a public participation process, so all the arguments were rehashed again. Now, to me, the process has gone, and it's in the stream, and it's supposed to be considered. Is it correct now to say, because there is an intention to change the policy directive, and there may be changes in the policy directive based on draft policy direction which is going out for public comment, which is now to happen, you are now going to hold and not consider this application, which you called for, by the way, based on something that may happen in the future. Is that legally correct? Because you're going retrospectively. If the policy changes in the end also, and the whole policy directive changes, can it be applied retrospectively? And this is a worry that I'm having, is why is there a consideration of what may happen? Because there was a policy directive issued, there was public participation, there was an application. There's public participation after the application. Now you should just, if you are independent, apply your mind based on that and go ahead. What is now making this process look distinct? I asked my question earlier, but I've got my answer also, because I also believe that because of the uncertainty coming to you from the ministry, you are being hampered to do your work. But I'd like to know if you are independent, how is my question coming so clearly?
Sorry, I needed to apologize to them, so that's why I called in to ask them that we'll be concluding in the next 3 minutes. I just felt it's rude to keep them waiting outside without explaining while we're holding them out. So I wonder if they can walk in, because I want us to conclude the meeting in the next 3 minutes. We need to go back to as a committee, to interrogate the request by Dr. Ambrose to have the application to say is it correct or not correct. So, but before we do that, can I give the...
Madam Chair, thank you. Your deadline that you gave, they said by the 24th they will be finished, and you asked them for the 30th for your CASA to say a yay or a nay, and if not, why not? Can I also make a proposal, Chairperson, through you, that if it's a nay, that it's not been granted, that the shareholder also provides this committee with a report about their communications with their council department on the other side to say what will the implications be and what do they propose the way forward then for us. Thank you.
That is in order. Member, do you agree with the solution? Okay. Let's enter for the next 1 minute. Let's entertain the request by Dr. Ambrose Singh. He says that we should be provided the license application. I don't want them as a person of the portfolio committee. I don't think it's right.
Well, I don't know what you think.
Sir, may I clarify the nature of my request? I have the right as a member of parliament to put that request. I could put it to the minister through a prior request or as a parliamentary request, and as part of the oversight function, which is both individual and collective, as it's been said in all the other committees, and I'm sure this committee will not be any different. I have the right to request the documentation. If the entity requests it as a privilege on the documentation, under any of the exception of FIRE, it's confidential, it's a commercial secret, etc., etc., he can say no. Then the matter becomes a committee issue, and the committee can decide whether or not to issue a subpoena. But I don't think that it is for the committee or for the chair to decide whether or not my request is a legitimate one.
The committee members have a right to say what they think about your request.
Sure.
I've already said what I think, and I'll give them a chance to say what you think about your request. Committee members? Dr. Pillay.
Madam Chair, the application of the broadband infraco is in the public domain. That's why people are able to comment. The business plan is also in the public domain to whatever it is. So whatever is in the public domain, I think we should give to Honorable Ambrosini, because that was the basis of which when the act has been put in and when the application has been considered in the public participation process, the documents that people had to look at to see what they were going to do so that they can object to the licensing procedure. But having said that, Madam Chair, I've asked a point of clarity from the customer.
No, it's okay. You see, I don't want this committee to play post office. If that issue is in the public domain, the honorable member has the right to approach ICASA or to approach INFRAPO to ask for those documents. What I know should not happen. I don't want this committee to consider those applications. I don't want them to be records of the committee, and I don't want them, because once they become records of the committee, then the next step is going to be, let's look into them and entertain them, and I don't think that is our right or our prerogative. Any member who wants those things, they must ask ICASA or ask INFRAPO to give them those documents, and INFRAPO and ICASA will deal with them. So that the channel of this committee is not used.